the best way I can. Wiping up dust from my sandal sole, cause I just got here and now I plan to go. Hey, I'm a happy man, walking this road the best way I can. Wiping up dust from my sandal sole, cause I just got here and now I plan to go.
This evening for this time, Lord God, together in your name. We're grateful, Father, right now that you've given us a place, Lord God, and just always, Lord, a season, Father, for coming together, Lord. And so, Father, we just come together, Lord, right now, asking and praying, Father, that your Holy Spirit that leads and guides us into all truth would be with us, Father, in this time. Lord, we bind every demonic force, every influence of the devil, and we cast it out, Father, and we pray, Lord God, for the free flow of your Holy Spirit in this place, Lord. I get out of the way, Father. I invite, Lord, your Holy Spirit that leads and guides us into all truth, just to speak through me, Father, and with us, Lord, this evening and in this time, Lord. And Lord, we commit everything into your hands and into your care, Father. Every anxiety, every worry, every concern, Lord, all things, Father, we just lay at your feet. And we pray, Lord God, that your will would be done in this and in all areas of our life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Okay. Well, one thing that we usually do whenever we finish a series is we do like a Q&A, a question and answer before we start into then like the next one. So we kind of open that up if there's like some things from the last one that like didn't get clarified or things like that, or if there's just like random crazy stuff that's come up in between. Not that we have like everything figured out, but like, you know, sometimes there's some stuff. But it's like, it's always good to put the questions out there, because there's an element in when you ask God, so there's, you have a question or a concern or something in your heart. When you ask him, what happens is, I mean, just think about it. How many times have you had a question or a concern where you've asked God about something, and then somewhere in the next week, you'll be reading the scripture, you will be talking to somebody that's a follower of Christ, you'll be outside and a bird will chirp or something, but something will get you the answer for whatever it is that so this happens. So how often that happens? So it's like, so when you ask him, he's got a way of revealing and showing and making those things clear. So it's kind of like when we put that question out there, even sometimes it's like, I don't know, but you know, but we ask the one that has the answer. And then, you know, the really cool thing is he finds some way to get that answer to us. So whatever is, in fact, you know, there's, I'm trying to think of where, okay, where Jesus, Jesus talks to the disciples about if you command like this mountain to go jump into the sea. Yeah. Matthew, where in Matthew? I'm trying to think here. I'm thinking, flipping.
Matthew 21.
Cool. Okay. Cool. Yeah. Very, very cool. Okay. Actually, here. No, right. Verse 17 in chapter 21 says, "And he left them and went out of the city into Bethany, and he lodged there. Now in the morning, as he returned into the city, he hungered. And when he saw a fig tree in the way, he came to it and found nothing thereon but leaves only, and said unto it, Let no fruit grow on thee henceforth forever. And presently the fig tree withered away. And when the disciples saw it, they marveled, saying, How soon is the fig tree withered away? Jesus answered and said unto them, Verily I say unto you, if ye have faith and doubt not, ye shall not only do this which is done to the fig tree, but also if ye shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, it shall be done. And all things whatsoever ye shall ask in prayer, believing, ye shall receive. Now, what mountain is he talking about? You know, I mean, it's now there's there's certain elements that, okay, there's a bigger thing going on than, and this is recounted in other Gospels, but sometimes there is a mountain in even the way of your own faith, some kind of obstacle even in the way of your own relationship and your connection with God. And when you bring that question and that concern before him, if you ask him, what happens is that he has some way of moving that mountain out of your way. Because even the thing is, even here, you never see Jesus actually move a physical mountain during his ministry. But what he was talking about so many times, he was using natural examples to exemplify spiritual reality. So even with something like that, you're cracking up because you had a question about this one? Okay, see? So even with that, so what happens is that God will find a way to get you the answer somehow. So that's why too, it's really good to see what happens is too, is like, let this be your part of your personal connection, your personal walk with him, because what happens is that if you see, too often somebody will, you'll have a question. This is okay, let me tell you how religion does it. You'll have some question or some concern that's inside your own heart, but you're told, wait a second, you shouldn't have that question, or you shouldn't be asking that, or who do you think you are? You haven't been here for more than 10 years, or you know, and so those kind of things are put on you. And then someone else will come externally and tell you, okay, here's what you believe, here's how you believe it, here's what you can do, here's what you can't do, and you're not allowed to question anything because you're a low man on the totem pole. But that's not what God has given you, is a direct connection and a personal relationship with the Father. And as any child with their father, you have the freedom to ask. And he wants to teach you, he wants to show, he wants to reveal. So the beginning point is realizing that, first of all, he does that with us. Because the Holy Spirit, what does the Holy Spirit do? He leads and guides us into all truth. Well, if he's leading and guiding you into all truth, does it make sense that you're going to have some questions along the way? You know, what is true? What is not true? God, is this true? Is this not true? Where's this person coming from? What's this person about? And when you start asking those questions, when you start asking him, he then makes that stuff clear. So now he uses different things. See, here's the other thing too, is you have to be open to the way that God will speak, because he can speak through all creation. And it just takes a sensitivity in your spirit, which he gives you and he quickens you so that you know, wait, that's him. So, for example, he spoke through a donkey. You know, he's spoken through a still small voice in your spirit. He definitely speaks through the Word. He speaks through his people. He speaks through, sometimes even in the past, he spoke through prophets that had gone astray, and then he'd quicken them for a moment, give a word, and then, you know, they're still off in whatever they're in, but God will use somebody at some time, even in a moment sometimes, you can find out something through even a person that is not right. But God can say, okay, that's something that you know, you need to pay attention to. But always, for yourself, question the source, and you're listening more than anything to the resonance of the Holy Spirit inside of you, to when God's speaking through something that's around you or external. Does that make sense? Yeah. So likewise, you know, God will... So even here, like for example, you had some question along this line from this text, and what happens is like God deviates the thing to answer that question, because part of even when we open this thing up is we say, all right, Lord, your will be done. And see, because we're part of the body of Christ. So as part of the body of Christ, what happens is that the body, the head intrinsically knows what the different parts of the body needs. Now, my toe does not know what my liver needs. It doesn't have a clue. The toe is just being a toe where it is. Now, it might feel some effects of, you know, what's happening with the liver, but it doesn't really know, but everything's connected to the head. So what Christ does, because he is the head, is he, knowing what the rest of the body needs, causes different things within the body of Christ to move and shift and work on behalf of everything else. So, before we get into this next one, anything from the last one or anything in the interim that you wanted to bring out? Or shall we just dig in? Digging in? Okay, cool. Because it's a really, really, really good lead-in to our next series, which is called Asking God. And, okay, here. Yeah, smack. Okay. John chapter 14. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John.
John chapter 14.
And you smack yourself because you got some questions. Okay, all right. John chapter 14. All right. Okay, actually, you know, let's start at verse 1. Let not your hearts be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whether I go, ye know, and the way ye know. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whether thou goest, and how can we know the way? Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. If ye had known me, ye should have known my Father also. And from henceforth ye know him, and have seen him. Philip said unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. Jesus saith unto him, Have I been so long time with you? And yet hast not thou known me, Philip? He that hath seen me has seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, show us the Father? Believe thou that I am in the Father, and the Father in me. The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the work. Works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father in me. Or else believe me for the very work's sake. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. Okay. Stop there for a second. Okay. Now, I've heard this passage preached before by the whole prosperity cult movement, where somebody will take this, and I call it a cult because it is. These cults, what they do is they build movements based around human personalities that try to put you under the curse of the law. The curse of the law being You needed a man to get to God. That was the whole problem in the Old Covenant, was you needed somebody to stand between you and God to help you get to God. And they try to bring you back under that curse. They try to bring you back into that same thing. And so I've heard the personality cults, the prosperity cults, particularly in the West, where they say, oh, okay, right here, look, it says here, and whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, verse 13, read it with me, read it out loud, that will I do in my Father's name, that the Son be glorified, and if ye ask anything in my name, I will do it. And so therefore, I want a Mercedes. God, you said it, and I pray in Jesus' name that I get a Mercedes. Now, what happens is, now, first of all, God's word is true. Everything in God's word is true. And now, if that were true, if the way that interpretation of the scripture were true, according to those cults, then that would have to work 100% of the time. Now, if it doesn't work 100% of the time, then there's something wrong, and there's something in error, and there's, and you know what? And the way that they get out of it is, what they'll do is they'll say the problem is you need to have enough faith, because you don't have enough faith. You don't have my Mercedes faith. You don't have enough to get this, because I'm the special one, and because I'm the special one, and I've got this special thing going with God now. You see the trick? You see the deception, you see the lie that's built into that whole thing. Okay. First of all, one thing about the scriptures. The scripture is a spiritual document that's brought to life by the Spirit of God and the Spirit of God living in you. So when you read the scripture will resonate in you. And God will speak to you out of that scripture, out of those pages. Now, one thing about this, okay, for example, also all scripture is interwoven together. So what will happen is, when you read the scripture as led by the Spirit, one piece will expound another, one piece will amplify another. So you'll read one thing and be like, oh wow, wait. And then you'll read something else and you'll be like, oh wait, I remember reading something about this in Isaiah. And then you go back to Isaiah, oh wait, Deuteronomy, and then Psalms, and then it's just like each piece unfolds something else. So for example, even right here, let's just look at this one for example. It says, and all right. Verse 15, all right, let's just keep going with that from verse 14 on. Verse 15 says, if ye love me, keep my commandments. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive it, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. Now why is it that Jesus follows up this whole thing about asking with, if you love me, keep my commandments? What does loving Jesus and keeping his commandments have to do with asking and receiving? Definitely. There's an element of, see, here's the thing, is that Jesus talked, okay, let's just keep, if you jump forward just to chapter 15, which is just, you know, this was all part of a continuous dialogue where Jesus was speaking. Chapter 15 is all about Jesus talking, says, I am the vine, and I'm the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch that is in me beareth not fruit. He that taketh away, and every branch that beareth fruit, beareth not fruit, every branch, verse 2, in me, chapter 15, that beareth not fruit, he taketh away, and every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Alright, so now, if a branch is not in him, if a person is not in Christ Jesus, in that place of spiritual connection with him, then it's outside of him. And if you're outside of him, you're not in a position to, one, be connected to the spiritual life that's flowing from the Father, because the Father is the source of all life. So it's like, so there's an element there too of, alright, if you love Jesus, you obey what he commands, and then from that command, the Holy Spirit will be with you forever. And out of that place and connection where you're in connection with the Father, when we ask, now we ask out of that mind and that heart that the Father now reveals to us. Because what happens is when you're in connection with Him, let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus. Ah, okay, so if I'm asking now, I'm starting to ask with the mind of Christ. I'm starting to ask not with motives and intentions that come from my own heart, where I'm saying, what can I have in the world that would make my time here, you know, what can I have to succeed in the world? See, here's something I've realized. Most people, even in Jesus' time, the reason that they asked God for anything, or most of the time the reason they asked God for something, was because they wanted access to the world and the world system, and they wanted to strengthen their access. And so what they were asking God for was, God, give me something so that I can get back to my life in the world and become more in the world. So bless my business so that I can be a better worlder. I'm sick and I'm infirmed and I don't like being uncomfortable, so please heal me. And as soon as he's healed, okay, now let me get back to my life in the world. How many people go to the building on Sunday because, and I call it the building because we are the church. You and I are the body of Christ. We are the church. How many people go to the building on Sunday because that's a place to, one, social network, two, to check out the opposite sex, three, because it's just something to do and they don't want to be out there alone. And you know, how many people, what are the motives and the intentions of hearts when they go? And how many people would really want that truth, would really want the Word of God, would really want their own motives and intentions to be revealed and exposed? You know, it's a frightening thing for most people if you could actually see, for if they were revealed who they really were and what they're really about, if what was inside was actually brought out. And see, that's what Jesus would do. When somebody was around him, if you're around him for long enough, like a very short time, what he would do is he would reveal your own heart, because he was the light that came into the world. So he would shine bright, and that revelation would reveal your own heart, your own motives, your own intentions. And for most people, that was so traumatic, they were like, we have to put that light out. We have to kill him quickly. And so that's what they wanted to do. How many times did they try to kill Jesus before he actually laid his life down of his own accord? How many times did they try to kill him? Tried to take him up onto a hill to push him off. They tried to stone him. You start going through this list, it's like, gosh, they were really out to get this guy. It wasn't a one-off thing. They were, because what happened was every time that light would shine, it would reveal hearts, motives, intentions, and what people's true, where they were really coming from. Now here's something that most people maybe don't realize. See, the body you're in is just kind of like it's the earth suit that you're in to get around while you're here on the planet. Just if you went to the moon, you'd need a moon suit to get around. The car, if you jump in a car, that's your transportation. It helps you get around on the road. Likewise, the body that you and I are in is just your earth suit. If you went down deep sea diving, you'd need a deep sea suit. So it's the transportation unit for the soul and the spirit, which is alive and eternal. Now, that is the real you. And the real you that's inside this shell will be revealed for all eternity for what it is, whether it's connected to the source of life or not, whether your motives and your hearts and intentions, whatever it is that's inside of you, will be made manifest for all eternity. So it's like, and see, this is why too, see, what the world does is it puts a face on everything. It's like, okay, it allows, the world system loves to do this. It puts a glaze on a pot full of crap. And so it's like, okay, let's polish it up all on the outside. And if you can convince other people, they don't want you to talk about God at all, but if you can convince other people that you're okay, then they think, oh, okay, I must be okay, because they say I'm okay. When really inside the heart, that's full of corruption and deception and is disconnected from Him, and it doesn't want anything to do with God because it wants to remain in the dark. Because people's deeds are evil, their choice is evil, their heart is set on the world. So now, what happens is what God desires for us is, one, for us to take that offer, that gift of life eternal that's in Christ Jesus, and out of that gift, for us then to develop that intimacy with the Father and that connection with Him. And what we do is that we continue down this path and just let each and every day unfold as the Father would. And so it's this consistent pursuit where there's nothing in this life or in this world that you and I would have more than that connection with Him. And then anything else that we have is an extension of that connection in that life. So for example, you and I may have a business, but if we have a business, let it be the business that God has directed you and put you in. Because if you have that now, then that business will be an extension of the kingdom of God, because He's directed that for that to be. Versus the world giving you a job and saying, okay, now I'll give you provision in the world system in exchange for your soul. And you can have two people in a similar situation, one being two shopkeepers with one right next to each other, and one can be a follower of Christ that God directed to be there, and the other one is a complete worldly sellout. And they both have a shop next to each other. The scriptures talk about the wheat and the tares growing together. Very much so. The thing is, see, what happens with a follower of Christ is we lay our lives down at the foot of the cross. And we die in Christ Jesus, and the new life that we have is now in Him. And out of that new life now, whatever it is that we do, we seek to do basically whatever He directs us to. So it's like, so He says, all right, for you now, I want you to be in the desert for 2 years. Okay. For you now, I want you to take up this assignment, this job. I've got something for you to do. I want you to go talk to this person over you. Anything. Cool. Whatever. As long as you know that it's the Spirit of God leading and guiding you. So that's where also this intimacy with the Spirit of God, that's also where this developing connection with Him, because He reveals to you out of that. So one thing is that from that, we you know, sometimes some things will be a bit traumatic, and within that too, like I know there's certain times when God kind of put me on certain courses, and it was a bit hard to hear, because it's just not that it's hard to hear, but it's like, it's kind of like, okay, that wasn't really my plan. But because there's a way that seems right unto men, but the end thereof is the ways of death, Proverbs 16. There was an idea that I had. I thought it was a pretty good one in myself. But then God would reroute life. And then when He would reroute life, it's like, okay, now let me... But then what He would do is He'd find also ways to confirm that. Like, okay, you know, this really is Him speaking, this really is Him revealing, this really is Him showing. You can go to Sweden and do whatever it is that you were told to do. You can start this, you can do this. This is Him opening this door. This is Him closing this door. This is Him... And you know what the thing is like, you're constantly like walking through life in this place of connection with Him, where you're like, Lord, please just show me and reveal, because you want to live out the life that He has for you. Because there's an abundant life that He came that you might have. John chapter 10. Okay, in fact, here, just flip back a little bit, but keep your finger in John 14. But John chapter 10. You come to this side, man.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, that's better.
Cool.
Yeah. Okay.
It's cool here.
All right. John chapter 10 says, "The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly." So Jesus came that we might have life. Now part of that, and have an abundant life. See, he came that we might have the fullness of life in this dispensation. In this time, in this... See, here's something that I... One of the prayers that I prayed a long time ago, and I encourage now people to pray this, is that one of my prayers was, "Lord, I want to live the maximum life possible. That according to whatever you say that is, in this season of life, in this dispensation, that's made available, whatever that is, that's what I want. And according to your will, according to whatever it is that you say that is." So if that means me being a janitor, great. If that means me being an astronaut or a CEO or whatever, great. Whatever it is that you say, this is a maximum life that I intended, great, that's what I want. And I just left it up to him. And in that, and I believe that he's answering that prayer. I've seen him answering that prayer, because I mean, when I look at and just the life that God is allowing me to live, and it's not just for me. He does it. Anyone that would ask for something like that, I believe that's a prayer that would bring joy to the heart of God for anybody that's open. Because what it says is, look, Jesus came that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly, that I might have that. So, hey, over here, sure, I'll take that. But whatever it is, on your terms. See, that's the thing, is that this stuff, it all comes on God's terms, not ours. And part of that is a dying to self. Part of that is a dying to our own lives, our own expectations, our own hopes in this world. We have to first die to that, to then receive whatever it is that comes from His hand. And see, He won't have anything else before Him. He won't have anything else. He won't allow for anything else to be in that place. Does that make sense? So if something else is there, guaranteed he'll work on that. The Spirit of God will work on that, because God, His Spirit, will solidify. If you're open to that walk with Him and you're on that path, His Spirit will solidify the Lordship of Jesus Christ in your life, in every area, completely and totally. And then it comes to a point where there's nothing left of you. That it really is the life and the light of God shining through you. That's the desire of the Spirit of God. That's what God will do in putting you into the refining process and putting you into the furnace. I was reading something a friend sent me just recently, where it's talking about that God. Scripture that talked about God refines us like the silversmith refines the silver. And this person had gone and actually talked to a silversmith about how the purifying process works. And the guy says, you know, that he actually puts the silver into the hottest part of the fire. And the whole time he'll watch it. Because if he doesn't watch it, you know, the silver will, you know, could be destroyed. So he's constantly has his eye on the silver the whole time. And it goes into the hottest part of the fire. And then the person asks, well, when do you know that the thing is done? And the guy is kind of smiling, says, when I can actually see my reflection in it. He says, that's when it's finished. And it's the same thing even with the work of God in our lives. And I see that for sure, because it's like, okay, there's another natural example of a spiritual reality. I can totally relate. We can totally relate. What happens is that God puts us into, He allows for the circumstances of life to work in such a way that you and I will be tested and bruised and stretched and bent. And all of this stuff will happen, and you come to a point where you consider, pure joy when you face trials and tribulations of all kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith builds perseverance, character, and hope that doesn't disappoint. So we get a hope that's in the Father. We get a hope that's in Him. And He allows for that because there's something that's, He's building something in us. Now, in that process, there's also something that He's working on with us as well, which is, He's also, and this is something where I realized I have not utilized certain things that I have as a son of God. See, you're a daughter of God. You're a son of God. I'm a son of God. We are children of God. You're a daughter of God. And you have access to the very throne of God. And God desires that we do ask. God desires that we utilize the power that He's put in us according to His plan and purpose. Because He's left us in the earth for a reason right now. There's a reason for us being here. But the asking that we do, it's something that is in accordance with the Spirit of God living in you. So right now, for example, with the situation going on in the country, there are friends that I know in the body of Christ who God has moved on their heart to intercede for specific things in what's happening right now. And as they're praying, and as they're asking God, as led by the Spirit of God, I see in the natural things happening, things opening up, doors being made open. Even through all of this stuff, I see God moving in response to the prayers of the saints. Because without those prayers going forward, without that authority of Christ Jesus being exercised in the situation, what you have is a swarming of demonic powers to basically destroy the souls of, to just devour flesh and destroy the souls of men in a terrifying experience. That's because, again, back to John 10, the thief cometh not but for to steal, to kill, and to destroy. Of course, that's what he's going to do. But we, as a body of Christ, who fight, who wage war in the realm of spirit, and that our battle is not with flesh and blood, but against powers and principalities, spiritual wickedness in high places, and the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty in Christ Jesus, and they're spiritual weapons that we use. We can decimate a legion of demons. The 12-year-old can knock them out. Just one that's connected to Christ. And see, that's why the devil works so hard to get your mind, if you are one of his, to get your mind wrapped up in whatever else, so that you don't get to that point of using the power of God that God's put in you, so that you don't, if he can draw you away from that intimacy, if he can draw you away from that connection, if he can get your thoughts clouded, if he can get you into a place where you're so confused, so broken, so beaten down that you don't even ask, you know, then it's like, because he knows as soon as you start, it's over for him. You know, he knows that as soon as the body of Christ starts to move on something. And think about Peter. Peter was locked up after they killed James, and then the body of Christ started praying. Peter's locked up in the jail, some 16 guards in there. And he's locked up between two of them. In the middle of the night, the church is praying for him. The body of Christ is praying for him in somebody's house. And because they're praying, the angel of the Lord shows up, takes off his shackles, opens the door, brings him out in the middle of the night, has to kick him to get him to get up. He's like, "Get up, Peter, put your stuff on, let's go." It's like, so God springs Peter from, God gives a jailbreak. How many times did God do a jailbreak? Acts 16 is another jailbreak. I mean, how many times is God just busting people out of prison that are His? Because people are praying. But you notice that every time people are praying and worshiping God, God moves in impossible situations when the people of God just come to the Father and respond. So there is an element that God desires where we ask. Okay, so back to John 14. Love Jesus, obey what he commands, and the Holy Spirit will be with you forever. That sounds like a pretty good deal. Now, alright, you know what's curious is like, alright, I was looking at this, John 14, verse 13 through 14. Alright, whatever you ask in Jesus' name, alright, whatever you shall ask in my name, that will I do, and the Father, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you shall ask anything in my name, I will do it, right? Okay, then you go to John 15, verse 6 through 7. Verse 6 through 7 says, if a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch that is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. And wait a second. Twice he talks about your prayers being answered. But one time he says, whatever you ask in my name, I'll do it, right? Okay? And then the other one he says, remain in Jesus and his words remain in you, then ask, and it shall be given unto you. Okay. Now back to our cult satanic deception mobilizing people around religious personalities that seek to take you to hell. Okay, back to those guys. Where they've used the name of Jesus like a credit card, and they say, oh, okay, now, back to, remember? John 14, verse 13, and whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified. If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it, right? Okay, so I asked in Jesus' name for a Mercedes. Okay, and I didn't get it. Okay, but now, overlay that with, again, the scripture, if they would have just read one more chapter, chapter 15, if a man abide in me, if a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch that is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Okay. If ye abide in me, now if you ask in Jesus' name, and you're abiding in Jesus, do you see what asking in Jesus' name is? Actually not using Jesus' name, but asking in Jesus' name. He is the author and the finisher of your faith. He's the Alpha and he's the Omega. So you have one end of the spectrum and you have the other end. So what happens is, if you and I are outside here, which we were broken off, branches outside of the vine, and then we came into Christ Jesus here. So you were outside before, now you're in Christ Jesus. He's the Alpha and he's the Omega. Now you're in Christ Jesus. When you and I ask in the name of Jesus, what you're actually doing is you're asking from a place of spiritual position inside of Jesus Christ. So you are asking in his name, because you, in him you live and move and have your being. That's what it means to ask in the name of Jesus. It does not mean to, outside here, say in Jesus' name. What do you mean in Jesus' name? You're outside. You're outside of Jesus. How are you going to ask in Jesus' name if you're out there? You might as well pray out Jesus' name. I ask for this out Jesus' name. Because that's where you are. So if somebody's asking out Jesus' name for their Mercedes, you know, God, please give me a Mercedes out Jesus' name. That's in the spirit, that's what's happening. In the natural, they can fake it as much as they want. They won't ever make it. They never will make it. But what we do is, see here, when you and I, all right, back to Jesus, the kingdom of God, all right, the kingdom of God is within. So, Luke chapter 17, 20 through 21. Here. Okay, actually, let's flip there, and then we'll come back to this. Luke chapter 17. Luke chapter 17 and verse 20 says, "And when he was demanded of the Pharisees when the kingdom of God should come, he answered them and said, The kingdom of God cometh not with observation, neither shall they say, Lo here or Lo there, for behold, the kingdom of God is within you." All right. So the kingdom of God is within you. So it's not some external building program. The kingdom of God is within you, because you are the living temple of the Spirit of God. So now, if within you, if His words remain in you, and you remain in Him, in this spiritual position, position in the realm of spirit, where you're connected to the source of life, where the river of living water is flowing into and through you, now from that spiritual position, ask. Ask and it shall be given unto you. Ask and the kingdom of heaven will respond. Ask and angels of God will move on your behalf. God will split the sky. God will stop the sun in the sky from moving. He did that for Joshua. If you're asking in His name, if you're asking in connection with the Spirit of God, can you imagine what people who are outside of Jesus, outside of the Father, would have thought in a situation like that, where there were, especially these armies that were fighting against Joshua and the Israelites, and they're like, oh shoot, these guys are just slaughtering us. Well, at least nightfall will be coming up where we can get away. The sun's not going down. In fact, it's stuck right there. We are totally getting wiped out, because guess what? God is on their side. See, God responds to the prayers of His saints. God responds to the prayers and the petitioning of His people. So, but we, one, as you and I, have a responsibility. Because see, here's something that you have to realize. God has left you in the earth because He uses and utilizes us as ambassadors for the dimension of spirit to accomplish His will in the natural. So you and I are ambassadors of Christ from a dimension of spirit, but we still exist in a natural body. So in this realm, what happens is the things that are happening in spirit become manifest in the realm of natural. So, for example, let's take the war going on in this country. The war going on in this country right now is a natural manifestation of a spiritual reality taking place in this nation. So because people have given themselves over by their free will to demonic powers and allowed for those to operate in this place many, many times unchallenged, and the land is soaked with blood, and all of that's taken place here, the people are reaping what they've sown. And outside of an intervention of the Spirit of God in this place, what will happen is just more and more people will suffer and die continuously. Because of, again, what happens is the people have made a spiritual pact in the dimension of spirit that then always comes out in the natural. You and I, we cannot. You will see a natural manifestation of spiritual realities around you. For example, when a person is connected to Christ, when a person is walking with Him, if you and I are walking with Him, you will see a natural result of that even in a person, in their face, in their entire being. There'll be something that comes back. So like you will see a person that walks with Christ and knows Him, and they'll just be like, wow, there's something just about that person. They just have this, they just shine with the light of God. I mean, I've seen that. I've been in buildings, I've been in gyms, I've been in the gym. You know, and somebody will walk into the gym, and you'll just see, you'd be like, that's a brother in Christ. That's a sister in Christ. Just walk through the door. Because it's just like, wow, you can just see the life and the light of God in and on that person. So it's really cool. So it's like, so for us, you just, you and I, it's like, all right, see what the world does is the world recognizes you too. So when it sees the life and the light of God, it's like, oh, look, battery pack. Let me do something to try to hook into whatever power is going on in that person's life. Because, see, the world doesn't want to go to the source of life, because if it has to go to the source of life, then it has to come into the light. And if it comes into the light, it's revealed that its deeds are evil and all of that. So what it rather would do is, nope, I want to, if I'm the world, suck the life out of you who's connected to life. I want to suck the life out of you and take whatever's in you, whatever gifts are in you, whatever power that God's put in you, and I want to use that to further myself in the world system. So that's what it does. That's what most people's jobs are. That's what most people's relationship is during their entire time here. That's the bulk of people's lives while they're here. Don't you wish somebody would have told you this a long time ago? Save you some, like, a lot of... I had to have some people explain some of these things. Spirit of God will teach you this too. God desires that you live in connection with Him and walk your life out in a place of spiritual freedom in Him. But what it does, what it requires is a absolute death to self and to your hopes and to your dreams and to everything that you would be in this world. Let that go. And then whatever comes, it is whatever comes from Him. Now, if you're willing to go that route, what will happen is God will strip you of everything. He will take you down to zero, ground zero. And when you're there at that place, He will meet you. If you cry out to Him. But if you, what happens, see, the world, what it does is it'll also try to break you down. And it'll try to break you down to the point where what you do is you then say, okay, world, please stop beating me up. I'll sell out. And just stop beating me up. And then it'll give you a little break for a little while and, you know, give you a spot and some place in the totem pole, some place in the pyramid where now you can help enslave other people. See, the point comes when there's no more children of God around. You know, when they've killed them off or God's taken them unto Himself or whatever, it's like, okay, well, what use is this thing anymore anyways? So that's when you see these mass kill-offs and these mass deaths, because there's no, you know, God spares Sodom and Gomorrah if there are 10 righteous people in the city. When there wasn't, okay, there's no reason for that to exist anymore. When there's not even 10 people in that place that are not plugged into the world and the world system, what happens is just the people that are there, He moves them out of the way. And destroys the whole thing. See, that what happens is if the world, with the world and the world system, if you, once somebody is plugged into that thing, they just become a prop on the stage. They just become something that is just there for the play that you and I are living out. But they serve no purpose except for the play itself. Once the play is done, just like Natasha, she had that performance recently. When the play is done, is anybody watching or having anything from Elsie's bar at home? No. The play is finished. They throw all that stuff away. So that's what God does with this whole thing. When this whole thing is done, when all of us come through this life, this grand drama that we're living out in this life, in this world, when we've all come through this massive play with all the different acts and all the different things that have taken place, when we come through this whole life and everything that it is, God will just receive unto Himself those that are His and wipe away every tear. He will be with those that are His, and then the whole production, He'll just scrap it. Scrap the whole thing. Toss it into the garbage bin. Burn it. Now, most people don't like to know that they're eternal trash. But if you are not connected to the Spirit of God, what else can you expect? What else can you hope for? You know, there's a parallel in Scripture. When Jesus would talk about hell, He would refer also to this place called Gehenna. And Gehenna was a place just outside of Jerusalem where they would burn the trash. So it's just this consistent place of garbage and just burning of trash. So for somebody to wind up there is for somebody to be in a place where they're eternally irredeemable, eternally just thrown away. And see, part of the reason why the demonic kingdom hates you and I so much is they know for themselves that they are already, they know their fate. And you and I have an option. You and I have a hope that's in Christ Jesus. You and I have the free will option to bow your knee before the dominion of the King of Kings, receive the gift of eternal life that comes in Christ Jesus, and out of that place and that connection to go into all eternity in connection with Him as the bride of Christ. We have that. They themselves don't. So that's why they bring to bear every resource that they possibly can to take you with them, because they hate the fact that God has allowed that for us and they don't have that. So for them, too bad, so sad. You know, this is your window in this life. This is your time on the stage. You're surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses that are all cheering you on to walk with the Father, to take up that life eternal that God has for you. But now, what we do when we... Okay, so on asking, though, we ask from a place of spiritual... It's an actual spiritual position that we have. Not using Jesus' name, but from a spiritual position. In that place of a spiritual position, that's where we now petition the Father. And you petition the Father as the Spirit of God quickens you. So God will quicken you about a situation. God will quicken you about something that's... And there's things that we don't ask for. There's things we don't pray about. This is where discernment comes in. This is where you and I need to allow this. Because, you know, how many things will people come up to you and say, pray about this, please ask God about this. And you know what? It's too often, if people know that you have a connection with God, they will ask you to pray because they know that God answers your prayer, so they want to, again, use you like a battery. But see, you and I need to be sensitive to the Spirit of God, because when we ask, you should be asking as the Spirit of God leads you. And don't just take it like how somebody brings it to you. Ask God what to do in the situation. So for example, if somebody comes up to you like, my aunt is sick in the hospital, would you please pray for her? Okay, stop. Ask before you just hold that person's hand and say, oh Lord, please heal this person's aunt. Sounds great on the natural, but stop. And ask God, God, what's going on? What's up with this person? And God may reveal to you, hey, that person's aunt is in the hospital because they've held on to bitterness for 30 years, and that bitterness has rotted them from the inside out because they've held on to something. They've never forgiven something that happened when they were 5. and they've never let that go, and so now that thing is in them and is chewing them up, and that's what's destroying that person. And what they need to do first and foremost is, of their free will, choose by this power of the Spirit of God to let that go, and out of that release, and that then the healing will flow into their life. Now if you just pray a blanket prayer, "Oh Lord, please heal that person," you just missed what God was doing there. God had a word for that person. So we ask out of intimacy that comes from the Spirit of God. So when we pray about something, don't be rash, don't be quick. Stop. First, let the Spirit of God reveal. Let the Spirit of God open. Let the Spirit of God begin to unfold what that situation is. Sometimes what's happening is people are coming up to test you. These are demonic messengers, workers of the devil that are there to try to test you, to try to expose you, to try to... And too often, because people, they've just kind of taken it as it comes, but they've not allowed God to really, you know, quicken them in those areas. They put themselves out there, they expose themselves, basically, unnecessarily. And then, like, now somebody's trying to test you and your connection with the Father and all of that, and put you out there. And it's like, you know, I mean, how many, Jesus, they asked Jesus, you know, "Oh, show us a sign." 2 seconds Jesus could show them a sign if he wanted to. But that wasn't what was going on. He said, "Look, a wicked and adulterous generation asked for a sign. The only thing you're going to get is the sign of the prophet Jonas." Now, he had done miracles before, and he did a bunch of them after. But those guys missed them. They didn't see him. Because God's not going to be, it's not a circus that he's putting on. So we have to allow for the sensitivity that comes from the Spirit of God to show you what to ask for, how, and when. And, gosh, time goes quick. Okay, but there's a reason that we ask. I'll stop with this in a little bit. Verse 13, and whatsoever, verse of chapter 14 of John, "And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son." If ye ask anything in my name, I will do it. Okay. God answers our prayer for a reason. Right? John 15, verse... All right, John 15, verse 6. Again, back to the whole thing. Spiritual position, now keep it in mind. "If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered. And men gather them and cast them into the fire, that they may be burned," that they are burned, and they are burned. "If ye abide in me and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples." Okay, so God answers our prayers for the glory of the Father, and also revealing you as one of his disciples. See, God is glorified in you. You and I, say you and I, go into a situation as an ambassador of Christ, and now we're put in something. And then now the whole world is coming down on you, or whatever it is. And the Spirit of God quickens you. This is how to pray in this situation. This is what to do. You praise God. You respond a certain way. God shows you what to do. And now you do that. And now the power of God that comes to bear on that situation, and the will of God is done in that place. And now God is glorified, because you did something in connection with the Spirit of God. And you and I are also revealed in that situation that, hey, you're one of the real ones. And God wants to make that known. All earth is, and all creation is earnestly, is groaning in expectation for the revelation of the sons and the daughters of God. It wants to see who's who. So, you are revealed in that, in that, in that process, in that clash, in that, that exercise, in that carrying out of whatever it is the Spirit of God would lead you into. So, yeah. Okay, and I think I probably have to stop there because I can keep going, but we'll stop there for this evening and we'll try to pick it up again. But ask from that position of spiritual connection in Christ Jesus, and it shall be given unto you. All right, so we'll stop there for the night.